Hi everyone, thanks for being here this afternoon. Today I'm going to talk about undetermined deaths within the Oklahoma Violent Death Reporting System and some statistical procedures that I use to try and reclassify these deaths as suicide, minor, or unintentional. To give you a brief overview of my talk today, I'm going to talk about why we might want to reclassify undetermined manner poisoning deaths, the methods that I use to go about doing that, the results, benefits, and limitations, as well as some recommendations. Unintentional poisoning is of particular importance in Oklahoma right now. It surpassed motor vehicle crashes as the number one cause of injury death in 2009 and then again in 2012. From 1999 to 2013, the rate of unintentional poisoning in both the United States and in Oklahoma has been increasing, with Oklahoma being much higher than the national rate. And to give you an idea of the magnitude of this change, in 1999, there were 127 unintentional poisoning deaths in Oklahoma, and in 2013, there were 730, representing an increase of 570%. And so because the magnitude of this is so great, we want to make sure that we're capturing all of the unintentional poisoning deaths that we can. And to give you an idea of the rate of undetermined manner poisoning deaths, this hasn't really changed over time from 1999 to 2013 in the United States, but in Oklahoma we saw an increase of over three times, particularly in 2010 to 2013. So you might think that the rate of undetermined manner poisoning deaths could be increasing because the rate of poisoning of all intents is increasing, but we don't see that in the United States as a whole. And so this might indicate a procedural change in the medical examiner's office in determining death intent. There are two main poisoning surveillance systems housed within the Injury Prevention Service at the Oklahoma State Department of Health. One of them is the Oklahoma Violent Death Reporting System, which for poisoning purposes, the intents of interest are suicide, homicide, and undetermined manner. And one of the great benefits to the Oklahoma Violent Death Reporting System, as well as NVDRS as a whole, which is sponsored by the CDC, is that it gets data from a number of different sources, including medical examiner reports, death certificate, and law enforcement. And so this can give us a better idea of all of the circumstances surrounding a death. In addition, the Injury Prevention Service also has an unintentional poisoning surveillance system, which includes only unintentional manner poisoning deaths, and these deaths come from medical examiner reports and are cross-linked with death certificate. So why might it be important to look into reclassifying undetermined manner poisoning deaths? As I mentioned, in Oklahoma in 2010, we saw an increase in the rate of undetermined manner poisoning deaths, which might indicate a procedure change in determining death intent. So we might want to look at cases that are not being determined as unintentional, and we might want to capture those cases that could be lost in the system. It's also good to go in and look at undetermined cases and see how they might be different from suicide manner deaths or unintentional manner deaths, and to be able to track this population over time. Because it could be possible that a lot of the undetermined manner deaths are similar to suicide or similar to unintentional, or they're a completely different group overall. So based on the importance of looking at undetermined manner poisonings, the goal of this these statistical procedures was to reclassify undetermined manner deaths into unintentional or suicide. And this question has been looked at before by Donaldson and others in 2006, who used a classification and regression tree analysis to try and reclassify undetermined manner deaths into unintentional or suicide. And the variables that were predictive of a suicide or unintentional death were suicide behaviors, alcohol or drug problem, physical health problem, depression, age greater than 47 years, and then the number of count factors. And the results of that analysis was 79% of undetermined manner deaths being classified as unintentional and 21% of them being classified as suicide. In order to look at this issue in Oklahoma, I used the two surveillance systems that are housed within Injury Prevention Service, the Oklahoma Violent Death Reporting System, including undetermined, of which there were 119, suicide, of which there were 144, and then the unintentional poisoning system, for a total of 1,652 in the data set for the years 2011 to 2012. To begin to look at reclassifying the undetermined deaths, I just did a general comparison of suicide and unintentional to see how these two manners are different from each other. And to do this, I used chi-square analysis and also unadjusted logistic regression. And then the variables that had a p-value of less than 0.3, I included in a stepwise regression model. And the variables that were predictive of suicide or unintentional poisoning death were used in the reclassification procedures. And in this table, you can see the variables that were predictive of a suicide or unintentional death from the stepwise regression. These include suicide behavior, which would be leaving a suicide note, intent, a disclosure of the intent to commit suicide, previous suicide attempts, variables such as that, location of death, whether that's a residence, a hospital, or other. And then the three substances, narcotic analgesic, central nervous system stimulant, or inhalant. And of these variables, the two that were more predictive of a suicide death than an unintentional death were suicide behavior and inhalant. The three reclassification procedures that I used were a logistic regression predicted probabilities model, a single predictor variable, and standardized coefficient scoring. So for the first method, I used a score statement in a logistic regression procedure in SAS, and used a data set that only included unintentional and suicide manner poisonings. And this created a data set with posterior probabilities that were applied to a data set of undetermined. So it just came up with a probability of whether that death would be more similar to a suicide death or more similar to unintentional. And the results of that procedure were undetermined being classified into 95% unintentional and 5% suicide. The second procedure that I used was just to look at the variable suicide behavior to split undetermined manner poisonings in this way. And just to give you an idea of how frequent this variable is among the different intents, among suicide cases, 63% of them had this variable. Among undetermined cases, 24% of them had this variable. And then among unintentional poisoning deaths, 8% were positive for suicide behavior. So when I split undetermined manner poisoning deaths just on the presence of suicide behavior, 76% of them were classified as unintentional and 24% of them were classified as suicide. The third procedure that I used was to ask for standardized coefficients in the logistic regression model, which I then created a scoring system. So each case was given a positive or a negative value if that variable was present or not present. So just a general scoring system applied to each case. Based on this procedure, undetermined manner deaths were split up 60-40, 60% unintentional and 40% suicide. So to give you a overall look of the three different procedures, method one gave the greatest proportion of unintentional deaths, and method three gave a more similar 60-40 split of unintentional and suicide. I then applied these procedures to a gold standard, or a data set that only included suicide or unintentional manner poisonings, to see how well the procedures would do at classifying a death that had a known classification, so known being unintentional or suicide. And so the first procedure had the greatest sensitivity, but also the lowest specificity. And then the third procedure had a more similar sensitivity and specificity. Some of the benefits to looking into undetermined manner poisoning deaths is that you can start to see what that population looks like in your state, and then maybe be able to track this over time and see if the population really is different from suicide or unintentional manner poisonings overall, or if maybe it could be more similar to unintentional deaths per se and could increase the frequency there. This could also help to identify high-risk populations, particularly if it is a different group from suicide or unintentional, a group that maybe need more prevention, and also to become aware of underreporting. These procedures definitely have their limitations. The reclassification of undetermined manner deaths depends on the original classification by the medical examiner. So this really has to be done state by state. The procedures cannot be applied outside of the state, and they probably should be done for every year because, like I mentioned before, the undetermined manner rate has increased in Oklahoma, which probably suggests a procedural change in determining death intent. And many variables can affect the classification of a death. For example, the time that a medical examiner has to devote to a certain case. And there is also considerable interstate variability in the proportion of deaths that are classified as undetermined. For example, in 2003, Massachusetts had 60% of all violent deaths reported as undetermined, whereas the national average for that year was 7.1%. So some recommendations that I would have is for each state to utilize the method that best fits their needs, whether this means just to do descriptive analyses on undetermined manner deaths to see what that population looks like, or to go ahead and try some procedures to see if those deaths are more similar to suicide or more similar to unintentional. I would also recommend that states meet with their medical examiner or coroner's office to see what the procedure is like in determining death intent. This could also strengthen partnerships between public health and medical examiner offices. I would also like to mention Ian Rocket and others wrote an essay about a proposed definition called death from drug self-intoxication that could possibly be adopted by CSTE members in looking at drug poisoning by the behavior of drug self-intoxication instead of looking at deaths from these different intents or looking at all intents of poisoning overall. All right, I can take any questions that you have. No, and I would like to mention that I don't think that if you're going to be using these procedures to use them internally and not to report externally, I think that they're best used to just get a better understanding of what those undetermined manner deaths look like and then be able to track those over time to see if that population is changing or if the proportion that could be suicide or unintentional is changing over time.
Yeah. The variable suicidal behavior, you're getting that from where? Off the...
So that's coming from the Oklahoma Violent Death Reporting System, which is also a limitation of that system because all of the circumstance variables in the system are positive or negative based on whether that was reported on the medical examiner report or the law enforcement report. So just because it's not written doesn't mean that it didn't exist, because it, a negative in the system doesn't necessarily mean a true negative. Yes.
So did you share these results then with your state ME, and what kind of response?
No, I haven't yet.
Oh, okay.
No. But further analyses that I'm doing is looking at more years to try and get a little stronger algorithm for determining unintentional or suicide manner poisonings. Yeah.
So that was my question was also whether you had spoken with the medical examiner about this and whether you saw, because it could be that it's a single medical examiner or medical examiner your case that runs the trial of driving change. Because that Massachusetts example you mentioned, it flipped when the state ME changed in Massachusetts. In fact,
yeah, I did go through each case and I read the pathologist that was responsible for each of the undetermined manner poisonings, and there were, I think, 5 different ones, but they were mostly, I don't want to say mostly, but in one city they were definitely higher than another city in terms of the proportion of undetermined manner deaths.
Is it a coroner system or
a centralized medical examiner system?
Okay. I know in some states they don't have a system of coroner. Sometimes they don't want to really put the intention because it has some community level implication of the death, especially with suicide. So I don't know if that comes into play because it's really a judgment call.
Definitely. And I did go through each medical examiner narrative for the undetermined deaths to see what the narratives looked like and if maybe I could figure out from the narrative if it seemed to be one way or the other. And a lot of them really are undetermined just based on the resources available. But I think that maybe medical examiner or coroner systems have different thresholds for needing to classify poisoning deaths that are different from those that are needed by us in public health. And so being able to run some descriptive statistics to see how each intent is different from the other, I think is important just for general knowledge. Okay, thank you.
So I just would like one round of applause for all of our speakers. I think this is a great session. Thanks, everyone.